1048DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. It's the final push before Election Day in the runoff race in Georgia between Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker. More from WSB Radio reporter Sandra Parrish.
Republican Herschel Walker made close to half a dozen stops in North Georgia.
We've been going around the state in certain areas just to encourage people to get out and vote.
Senator Raphael Warnock made a couple of stops as well.
Call your father and your mother, your sister and your brother.
The latest polling showing Walker 3 percentage points behind Warnock, but within the margin of error.
Tens of thousands of people in Moore County, North Carolina, have a few days ahead without electricity after two power substations were shot up by one or more people on Saturday. CBS's Mark Strassman is there.
No heat.
Steve and Meg Wilkins' unheated house, 55 degrees.
Tick you off? Absolutely. This is not what I wanted to be doing, stringing power cords, eating cold ham.
Back in January, CBS News obtained a bulletin from the Department of Homeland Security warning that domestic violent extremists continue to plot credible, specific plans to attack electricity infrastructure.
The Supreme Court on Monday heard free speech arguments over a Colorado company's refusal to create websites for gay weddings. Jan Crawford is the CBS News chief legal correspondent.
The liberal justices, of course, were very concerned about that. Where would you draw the line in this case? What about interracial marriage? What about people with disabilities, as Justice Sotomayor pointed out? How would it impact them?
The Biden administration is pushing back on a Republican effort to end the military's COVID vaccine mandate.
GOP opponents of the military vaccine mandate are hoping to include a provision banning it in the defense spending bill that's seen as a must-pass measure every year. The call to lift the mandate was joined last week by more than 20 Republican governors who say it's hurt the National Guard's ability to recruit. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says
this remains very much a health and readiness issue for the force.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
Actress Kirstie Alley, best known for her role as Rebecca Howe on the television show Cheers, has died.
I think I'm beginning to see you in a whole new light.
Well, why don't you tell me what you see?
You have a really weird face.
Her children say Ally was only recently diagnosed with cancer. She was 71 years old. Now to a developing story. At least three people died Monday night in a plane crash in Oklahoma City. The fire department says it is using drones with infrared technology to search for any other possible victims. The crash happened on the property of C.E. Page Airport. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building at end of the year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL. Or steal.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Tuesday, December 6th.
In Wood County, the Operations Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The City of Wisconsin Rapids will hold their Finance and Property Committee meeting at 4 p.m. in the Council Chambers at City Hall. The City of Stevens Point will hold their Police and Fire Commission meeting at 2 p.m. In Portage County, the Traffic Safety Commission will meet at 10 a.m. at the Portage County Law Enforcement Center LEC Training Room. The Space and Properties Committee will meet at 3:30 p.m. in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The Executive Operations Committee will meet at 5 p.m. in the same rooms. The Land and Water Conservation Committee will meet at 7 p.m., also in Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Land and Water and UWEX Committee meeting will take place from 1 to 2:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, overnight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 19, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 32, tomorrow overcast. Lows dip down to about 17, tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 33, Wednesday, under partly cloudy skies. 35, Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. CivicMedia.us.
Thanks for joining us today. As always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. So, I got this email, I think, over the weekend. I don't know when you sent it, but...
I like my random weekend emails.
Yes, yeah. And no, I was like, that. Oh, this sounds very interesting. And so, Jane, have you ever been in Blue Angels F-18 fighter jet?
I have not been in a fighter jet. I was in a trick biplane, however.
Ooh, that sounds good too.
Oh yeah, it was cool. We're going to talk about different shades of green.
Yes, exactly.
A little bit later.
So I've never been in any of these. The most I can say is I've been on like a very high roller coaster. But our guest for this segment is Dusty Weiss, who is the host of the Lead Balloon Podcast and president of Podcast Media, which is a podcast production company for brands in Milwaukee, based in Milwaukee. And you recently, according to you, I don't know if we've fact-checked this, are the only podcast in history to record a interviewed podcast while on an F-18.
Flying through the air, doing the loops, doing the barrel rolls, making myself completely green around the gills. Yeah, we got to make a little bit of podcast history and have some fun with it. Wow.
So how did this even happen?
So, you know my background, and by the way, it is so good to see you again.
Yeah, so good
it's
to see
been
you
a
too.
Minute. I worked in radio for 10 years, WEKZ in Monroe, WTDY in Madison, WIOD in Miami. Radio is in my blood, and it's so good to be back in a radio station, by the way. The smell of coffee and cortisol in the air is really, it just brings me back home. I hear Jane laughing in the other room.
She knows.
I worked in the news business for 10 years and I loved it. And I always, you know, colleagues from the TV stations or whatever, they would get invited to go on these ride-alongs with the Blue Angels, the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds, in these fighter jets, doing the tricks, telling the stories. And I'm like, someday that's going to be me. And so when I left radio...
But more
radio,
of a visual media of being able to watch people get sick
nobody
versus
wants,
on radio. You're
nobody
like,
wants
how, do we,
the radio
how do we show
guy
people this? Yes.
In that fighter plane. And so when I... left radio and went down more of a public relations and marketing career path, I gave up the dream. I'm like, well, it's probably never going to happen now. And then I started Podcast Media, the company, and started the podcast, Lead Balloon. And on Lead Balloon, we tell the stories of professional communicators, professional storytellers, marketing, public relations people in the most intense situations that they've ever been in. So we did an episode with Amy Brown, who made Wendy's famous on Twitter for being snarky and in people's face. And we did an episode with the people that came up with the Snapple Lady ad campaign in the 1990s.
Oh, gosh, that's a throwback.
Does that drag you back?
Sheesh, yeah.
And it slowly dawned on me that, wait a minute, there's an opening. I could get in the back of that fighter jet again if I pitch it right. And so I went to the U.S. Navy Blue Angels, the Flight Demonstration Squadron. They've been in operation since 1946, representing the Navy and the Marine Corps as sort of like their poster child at home to tell the story of naval aviation. And I told them, I want to tell the story of these storytellers of the Blue Angels. Everybody's all about the pilots, right? Oh, the pilots are so cool. And they are. They're the coolest, most athletic people you've ever met in your life. But I wanted to tell the stories of the people who create social media content and video content for the Blue Angels, because they also have to ride in the back of those fighter planes. And not only are they flying, you know, trying to stay conscious and not...
Which I heard is hard.
Super hard.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Super
though.
Hard. But they also have to operate a DSLR camera, which normally weighs 8 pounds, but under 7 Gs weighs almost... you know, 70, 80 pounds,
oh my gosh.
Right? And so I went out, we embedded with them at the Chicago Air and Water Show. We followed them around, watched how they did their job, learned about all this extra training that they have to go through and the G-strain exercises that they have to do to keep the blood from rushing out of their head and causing them to black out in flight. And then I made my ask. I'm like, so... this is really cool, you know, I what you guys are doing. Do you think I could handle it? And they're like, well, there's only one way to find out. Life dream accomplished.
All right.
Invitation to Pensacola, Florida, the Naval Air Base down there. And we got to go up and fly around with the Blue Angels for an entire hour.
You were up there for a whole hour.
A whole
hour. Did it go by fast? Or were you like, it's only 30 minutes, I got to get out of here?
So... I'm kind of a roller coaster junkie,
okay,
a little
so
bit of an adrenaline
like
nerd, and so I loved about the first 45 minutes of it.
Okay,
all right, ate it up, and we had the Top Gun music going on as we were coming on here. Like, I reported to the airbase at 6:15 in the morning. I got my briefing, and then I'm walking out onto the tarmac down the line of blue and gold fighter jets, and the sun is rising in the east. And I heard that music in the back of my head. I'm like, this is it. This is my Top Gun moment. Strapped into the back of that thing and blasted off.
Okay, so we have some of it. Well, our guest right now is Dusty Weiss, who is the podcast host of Lead Balloon and the president of Podcast Media. And we didn't know, because like you said, like the TV guys get to do this because it feels visual. But you did make a video to go along with your podcast, and I think we grabbed a little bit of the audio so people can get a feel for what your experience was like.
We coast easily up to 3,000 feet out over the inlet to the bay, and then air traffic control chimes in with our clearance up to 14,000 feet.
Blue Angel 7, climb maintain 14,000.
Most planes will make that ascent over the course of 5 minutes or so, but the Super Hornet does it in 20 seconds flat.
All right, up we go.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, baby!
With no warning, my reaction surprises even me. I am squished back into my seat like it's a rocket launch, and I cannot contain the giddy surprise that spills out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry about that.
Hey, it's all good. Hey, we're going to do a little zero-G pushover coming up here, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right, and here we go.
Ascending at upwards of 500 feet per second, Griffin eases us out of that climb into a shallow dive, and suddenly, I'm floating in my restraints. My brain struggles to mediate between what my eyes are seeing and what my inner ear is feeling, and I realize I'm grinning like an idiot as I sink back into my seat after 7 or 8 seconds of weightlessness.
Oh, what a good narration. Such a good storytelling while you're up there.
See, and that's where I push back against the, oh, flying in a jet plane, that's a visual experience, because it's an intellectual experience as well. And so I tried to, I waxed a little bit poetic. By the way, you heard my pilot there, Lieutenant Commander Griffin Stengel from Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh!
The Wisconsin connection right there. So after he pummeled me with 7 Gs of forces, and I did wind up kind of needing to take a little bit easy toward the end of the flight. Then we flew around and talked about how the Packers were doing, which was not well.
Which is not well. We beat the Bears.
We did beat the Bears.
And so, would you do it again?
Oh, in a heartbeat. As soon as I touched down, like, and I'm sitting here, I've got the AirSec bags strapped to my legs, and I didn't have to use them.
Oh, nice. Kudos.
But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm really sorry that's over. And then the whole flight back on like the 737 coming from Pensacola back to O'Hare, I'm sitting there going, this is an inferior experience to flying in the F-18. Commercial travel, commercial flight is ruined forever. It's just not as good.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. And so, you, and this was all just mostly to, you did, you made a podcast out of it so people can hear it on Lead Balloon, correct?
Yep, we've got it on our YouTube page as well. We actually turned it into a video mini doc because it is kind of visual at the end of the day.
It's so worth it, Dusty, to see, because I can see you levitating in your seat.
Oh, it was so weird.
You know, when you go weightless, you can actually tell. It's wild.
There's another part where we did the 7G minimum radius turn, right? And that's basically they turn the plane sideways and then pivot as fast as they can through 360 degrees of sideways rotation, right? And somehow when they closed the cockpit canopy up, a little bug got in with me.
Oh,
and so you could see it, like, as we're getting ready for this stunt, this bug, like, lands on the canopy next to my head. And then we go into this 7G turn. I feel like I get hit by 1,200 pounds of sandbags all at once, which was insane. But this bug goes, just falls right off the canopy. Like, there's a little bit of dust in there, whatever. And every time you, like, go weightless, you go into 0G free fall. Like, this stuff is floating around your head. It was just, it was surreal. It was dreamlike in a lot of ways.
And so which of the barrel rolls, loops, 7G, like, rate them as far as, like, most nauseating versus most fun, or whatever way you want to rank them as far as the different maneuvers and ride they give you when you're up there, how would you rank them?
All right, so I learned a little bit of terminology okay. while we're doing this. So the 7G minimum radius turn, and thank goodness we waited towards the end of the flight to do that one, because that one was like getting hit by a truck.
Okay.
Like, again, they teach you these G strain exercises where you're supposed to lock up every muscle in the lower half of your body to push the blood that rushes out of your head back up into your brain to keep you from blacking out. But while you're doing that for 10, 15 seconds, it's like the hardest workout that you can possibly do. And so the 7G MRT, that like took it out of me.
Okay.
Like after that, I didn't feel great. It was nauseating, like running a half marathon is nauseating. Like okay. I just didn't feel great afterwards. On the flip side, the fun stuff, there was one called something, the S. Basically what it was is the plane flips upside down and then pulls for the back half of a loop. And you're under about 4 G's of strain as you're like sliding, coasting down out the bottom of that. That was just fun.
Okay.
Like that was so cool. We did Boy, there were so many weird terms for these things. Just pulling for a regular loop, that was super cool. At the beginning there, the clip that Jane played, where we just blasted straight up into the sky under about 3 or 4 G's of pressure, that was super cool. And then they call them the aileron rolls, but it's, if you're a 90s kid like me, it's the Star Fox barrel roll, right? You spin like a pig on a spit as fast as you can. That one was wild. We did that twice in 4 seconds, just like that.
All right. Well, so you recommend it for me?
Highly recommend.
Try to get
if
this
you can
done
find
in my lifetime.
A way, if you can find a way into the back of an F-18 fighter jet. No regrets.
All right. Well, in the last minute that we have left, where can people find all of your podcast media, Lead Balloon?
They can check us out, podcampmedia.com/LeadBalloon. We've got the video up there. We've got all of the episodes up there as well. And then, of course, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, what have you. It's all good.
All right. Dusty Weiss, thank you so much.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
It's scary. Maybe I'm coming a little bit more over the left, but...
Well, it's not left, it's good governance, Steve.
It's good to be exposed to different ideas, and I do appreciate that you do put that out there on the airways, because a lot of times where you just get a little soundbite of this or a little bit of that, and that's the end of it. You're to be commended for that.
Dave, I'm glad you finally come around to commending the greatest radio show ever, man.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Weather in a Moment brought to you by Wishkosh, providing technical assistance to workers, help with OSHA contract language, referrals to legal and health professionals, and assistance on safety and health. Call 414-870-3060. That's 414-870-3060.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 28 overnight. Under overcast skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 39. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 29. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
As always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. Let us know if you've ever gone up with the Blue Angels and F-18, and if your experience was similar to Dusty's. It does sound fun.
Oh, my gosh.
It does sound like a bucket list type of thing.
Absolutely. And you got to watch the video. It's really terrific.
Yeah. And so we'll post that with along with our blog today. And so you can also check out Pod Camp.
Podcamp.
He got off the air and I was like, I was saying it wrong. It's not podcast media. It's Podcamp Media. He's like, yeah, it's fine. So check out Podcamp Media. Check out Lead Balloon, the podcast. And check out Dusty Weiss. Great. You can tell he grew up doing radio.
Oh, definitely. What a pro.
Yeah.
And just what great, he is a great storyteller.
Absolutely. So speaking of stories, this next story out of Wisconsin is, you know, I think we're all used to, if you have a pet, especially if you have a dog, sometimes they bring you things. I'm sure it's the same with cats.
Cats will do that.
Cats
too.
Cats who spend time outside, but my only experience is my 11-pound Chihuahua, who's mixed with something. This was earlier this year. I let him outside. This was before we moved, so we had a gated yard, but he would find ways to get out because that's what dogs do.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of, I came home, I need to let him out, was changing to go on to like do my next thing for the evening. And I come back outside to bring him in. Not only is he outside the gate, but he has brought me a dead squirrel.
Look, Mom.
And I yell, Cliff, put it down. I couldn't tell if it was still alive.
Sure.
And then I'm just thinking, how did this like 12-year-old Chihuahua be fast enough to catch a live squirrel? So I'm pretty sure it was one that was already dead that he was just excited to bring to me. I call my mom. Does he need a rabies shot? I'm very not used to what happens when dogs are dogs and bring you dead things. Well, it was one thing to have it be a squirrel.
Yeah.
It would be another thing if your cat or dog brought you a severed alligator head.
Is that not the craziest thing in the world?
And it's one thing if this was in Florida, but this was in Waukesha County.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Wendy Weisehugel, I don't know if I said that right, said she's seen a lot of wildlife in her 2 decades of living in Waukesha County, but she's never seen an alligator, which is not surprising because alligators are not native to Wisconsin.
Yeah, they don't overwinter well.
And so she was... like, she wasn't even convinced that she saw one in the water until a few days later when she reported that her 2-year-old rescue cat named Burnt Toast, which is a great name, dragging something up from the lake. And the cat had dropped 2 disjointed pieces of what appeared to be the head of a small but still an alligator. And she said, I put them together, and I'm like, that's a gator. I'm calling the DNR.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if there's been, it's still a mystery. There's like DNR does not know how this head ended up on the shore of a lake. It's not even a river. It's a closed, contained lake for a cat to find. And so the only kind of leading theory is potentially that like an eagle maybe made a trip to one place and then brought it to Wisconsin and dropped it. But I don't know. Like, snapping turtle, fine. What else would you expect to see a cat bring up from a Wisconsin lake? It's certainly never an alligator head.
No.
And it wasn't even fully, if you look at, so I saw this story on WISN, and they did a little piece of it, so you can see the visual, and it's not like it's just the skull.
No,
like, there's still skin on this
thing. Oh, yeah. It looks like what it is.
I'd be so freaked out.
I would too. All I can think of is that someone, these exotic pet people,
yeah,
wanted to get an alligator. And when Chunky got too chunky,
they let him go.
They let him go. Yeah. I think people do that. That's why they have boa constrictor hunts in Florida, because people get these animals and then they can't handle them and then they just release them.
Well, because where was it? I think it was Philadelphia. Remember over the summer, that story that went viral? And I think it's someone had, like the guy, the owner has a TikTok of him and his pet alligator. And the video that went viral over the summer was them going to hit the owner and his pet alligator, which I'm now forgetting what the name is. That's his like comfort animal. They were at the water park in Philadelphia on like a really hot day. And so he let a little girl like walk the alligator around like it was a dog through the different fountains and stuff like that. And supposedly, you know, there's the TikTok videos of him, the alligator, being very sweet and cuddly, which is not what you imagine an alligator to be. But maybe it's somebody's pet. I don't know. This is such a mystery. And I feel like this is now going to become similar to the chess story that we do with Greg, that as there's updates, we're going to bring you updates of the mystery alligator head that was found in Lake Keesis.
The Waukesha County alligator.
Oh my gosh.
And I know where Lake Keesis is.
It can't be too far from where we're recording right now.
I don't understand the reptile attraction.
But how do you think his head came off? That's the other part of the mystery. It's not only that there was a reptile alligator in Wisconsin in a lake, it was that his head was pretty like severed.
Would it surprise you that a person who would have an alligator as a pet, when they decided to get rid of it, decided to really get rid of it?
No, it would not surprise me.
See? Kind of a sad end for the Waukesha gator.
The Waukesha gator. Well, I highly recommend, depending on your queasiness level, if you would like to see a severed alligator head.
Here's your chance.
Here's your chance. WISN. We'll link it to today's blog, which you can find always at asgoeswisconsin.com. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, it's St. Nick's Eve. So we'll hear from you, Jane, me, Kristen, and maybe you, the audience, of your St. Nick tradition. Or maybe you just have no idea what we're talking about, because not every family celebrates. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time. Go to mercyships.org today.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're serious comedy to start your day.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Former Milwaukee Elections Commission Deputy Director Kimberly Zapata made her initial court appearance on Friday, where she posted a $2,500 signature bond. She entered not guilty pleas to 3 misdemeanor counts of making a false statement to obtain an absentee ballot. She is also charged with misconduct in public office, which is a felony. Zapata is represented by an attorney from the Thomas More Society, a conservative law firm that assisted former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman in his review of the 2020 election, which was funded by taxpayers. Zapata's next court appearance will be December 9th. Wisconsin gas prices are falling. AAA reports the statewide average for regular was $3.70 a gallon on Friday. That's about 60 cents lower than a month ago. Some stations are selling gas for less than $3 a gallon. Experts are predicting prices will go even lower this week. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A few flurries possible at times, overnight, otherwise mainly cloudy. Lows dip down to about 19, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Highs around 32, tomorrow overcast. Lows dip down to about 17, tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 33, Wednesday, under partly cloudy skies, 35, Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Roland, sorry you couldn't join us, but
I know.
Open invitation every year now that this has become a thing. And a couple highlights, Kristen. The mayor was marching with the chief of police, Daniel Thompson. And on the schedule, it said the fire chief, Steve Howard, but I didn't see him. He might have been on the other side of the street. And because they were following the honor guard, and then the float behind him, them was the kind of the tribute to first responders and the whole kind of blue, you know, unite with the blue light theme we've had here since the tragedies. I was just going to wave. It was a very somber, but they actually came to us and shook our hands and wished everyone in our radio audience, you know, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And it was just such a great moment. And then within minutes, the Waukesha Dems come by, led by Sarah Rodriguez, and she comes to us and, you know, and not just our leaders, but also, you know, in the county board and the GOP here, you know, like Cory Montijo and Paul Decker with the county super. I mean, it was just a very, you know, we are one Waukesha. And we are, there is a nonpartisan tradition here as a former alderman on our council and in our mayor's office. But it was also great to see that reflected in the street. And just talking to kids of all ages and families. And one former constituent was, they chose to sit here on our street here in Wisconsin. And Manuel's, and he came over and they were there in the parade. They witnessed all the action, and it was important for them to come back. With the Girl Scout troop that was just a few doors down in front of the Easter Seals, there were two Scout moms that were also first responders. One's at Waukesha Memorial, and the other was at Children's. And so they were there in triage mode last year. And the canine rescue is their charity that they support. Those dogs went out and pulled victims off of the street.
Wow.
And they were heroes too. And so it was just a great, amazing. They were actually here on Saturday after my show starting to set up. And so we had them here in the studio and they told us the whole story. And their daughters were very much involved in the accident. Had friends that were. So it was just wonderful. And to see a couple of the victims I knew really well, Eric Teagues and Tyler Budliner, both play baseball with my son. They were in the marching band and they were back. You know, Eric and his family was on top of the float. Eric was on my show just 2 weeks before. And Tyler was also on my show last summer and came over, you know, gave us a big hug and so many others. If it's okay, I want to take this opportunity and thanks to my wife for correcting me on this. I kept mentioning, like when the Dancing Grannies came by, I kept mentioning Virginia Sorensen and I want to apologize because there were at least four members or people supporting that were killed in the attacks last year. And so there was, you know, Tamara Durand, only 52 years old, Leanna Owen, 71. And as you know, the Dancing Grannies, they are forever, they're eternally youthful. And Wilhelm Hospel, one of the husbands who was there supporting. So I don't want them to be forgotten, of course. And then Jane Kulik, who used to wait tables at one of our local restaurants here, Dave's. She was marching with, I forget the name of the community bank that she works with. But so, you know, those. And, of course, Jackson Sparks with the Blazers. Mm-hmm. And we're a Blazer family. And the Blazers came by. And a bunch of the dads came over and moms and, you know, and gave us high fives and wished us Merry Christmas. And so it really turned into a very festive atmosphere. The floats, too, were unbelievable. Do you ever go to People's Park?
Oh, the right around the corner.
I think Jane and I just you should have seen their float.
I had dinner there or lunch there with my mom on Friday. That was that's a really fun restaurant.
The float, you'll see pictures of it on social. It was a big globe on the back of a float with like a Christmas theme or a winter theme, and there was very similar themes with you know, globes, you know, peace on earth, and like I said, it could, and the weather was actually really nice. Christmas parade here has always been like frigid, but yet the streets are filled. And, you know, kids 1 to 99, it's just been a great tradition here. This was our 59th running. And so it went off without a hitch. Special thanks to Mayor Riley, who was my guest on my show last Saturday. And so he was very enthusiastic about talking about how well the preparations were going. And the chamber did a great job. And, you know, this is their event. So big, big kudos to them. And nothing really other than my mistakes, you know, that I made.
Which,
you know,
we make at live radio sometimes.
It really was my first rodeo because I've never broadcast a parade before on the radio. So, but I had a lot of help from Jim Santella from Earl, but especially and Johnny Watermelon. But and Mike Crute, he was on the street on Main Street because we're at the tail end of the parade here in front of the studio. So Mike and Roxanne went out right in the front of the parade and gave us kind of a preview. So for our listeners, they didn't have to wait till 4:15 or 4:20 to catch what's going on with the parade.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So was the attendance, was the streets were just packed as far as people here to support and enjoy everything?
Absolutely.
And was there a balance between joy and more somberness, or was it pretty much more of a celebration?
It really, I mean, there were some somber moments, especially when you'd see the Blazers come by or the Waukesha South Marching Band or the Dancing Grannies, of course, but you looked at them and it was a celebration. I mean, there were some tears, but there were more smiles and just great joy. Like the Blazers, you know, the kids that were same age as Jackson Sparks to the, you know, the teens, it was a big celebration, big smiles on their faces, really happy to celebrate. And I know that that's how, I think Jackson would have wanted it. I've never met him. I shouldn't speak for him. But knowing that he's a Blazer and we're a Blazer family that, you know.
And for people who don't know, what does that mean to be a Blazer
family? So the Blazers are, they're a Waukesha, basically. They actually started in my neighborhood in Banting Park, where we raised our kids. And they were started by one of these dads, where as the club baseball became more and more expensive and elitist, the Blazers were the club where, you know, it was just much more affordable for kids to play, and it grew to be where they have select and they have elite, you know, club type baseball. But there's also rookie leagues where kids that, if it's not their primary sport or they just love to play, they get to play. And so it's just a great Waukesha tradition. And there's other clubs here like the Firebirds, another great club team that started here in Waukesha. So there's quite a few, but the Blazers, they've been around for more than 40 years, so near and dear to my heart. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And same thing, Waukesha South Marching Band too. You know, other people were injured in addition to Eric and Tyler. One of the, I forget his, I know his mom Sylvia Lochran. Aiden Lochran was injured, Aiden was even playing his instrument. So. So it was really special, and I'm just so happy for all those families. And again, the victims themselves that were able to come back, and you know, and people think, well, there was the 6 that were killed, and there were the 40, 50, maybe 80 plus that were injured, but there's also the hundreds that witnessed that, and the trauma. And I really hope that they're taking advantage of the mental health services being offered by NAMI here in the NAMI building and Healing Hearts. And, you know, everybody deserves good mental health, even on a daily, just to, you know, to live in today's world. But when you witness something like that, I think if you haven't already, whoops, sorry. That's my, my
that
buzzer.
Clue, we'll
that's my
that
buzzer
just,
to call you.
We're talking to Don Brown, who is the host of This Week in Waukesha, which airs at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings right here on WAUK, the Shaw. And he's also a former alderman for the city of Waukesha.
That's correct.
And he was the host of our broadcast yesterday of the Waukesha Parade, which was the year anniversary of the terrible tragedy that happened a year ago at the Waukesha Parade. And so any other highlights that you'd want to report on as far as notable floats or
there's
performances?
So and there was the Dancing Grannies were great. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know there was also another group. I believe they're called the Diamond Dancers. And it's the same thing.
Okay.
It's shall we say, golden women. That are eternally youthful.
Jane, how do you feel about being called a golden woman?
So. I'll take that.
Okay. So.
Anything's better than old bag, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So,
And full disclosure, Don, one of my sisters is in the Diamond Dancers.
That's fantastic.
Oh.
So that was one. So I don't think there was really a dog in the whole group. Like every, all the different parade exhibits, I mean, there were a lot of grateful. There were a lot of Grinches out, it seemed like, in a bunch of, like, Grinch Santa Clauses. And they range from like the really funny, jovial to like the real kind of mean cyber looking, you know, but
certain Scrooges
giving you the no, I did not. Yeah, because I remember that how you one of your heartaches was not being one of the Cratchits.
I know.
I did not see Scrooge. And one of my family traditions, I was asked about this yesterday, is we would watch A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. It was my dad's, and it was the one with Alistair Sim.
Okay.
Nothing else comes close except maybe the Muppets. I would just say just the good feeling and the different, you know, like people walking by. The security too was like, I mean, we had people on the roofs and the security fencing and, you know, just a great police and fire and public works presence. So, and the fire department had their great, and the police, and they all had just great exhibits. City had some wonderful floats and exhibits, and then so did a lot of the local businesses. And there were a couple globes. I apologize. I can't remember which ones, but for sure the one that People's Park did was over the top.
Okay.
Can I just say too, and it's been a long time since I worked on a float, but sure. I did work on floats when I was in high school for homecoming. It's so much work. If you've never taken colored tissue paper and plucked it into chicken wire for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours,
I was the class president. I remember. So, and Earl talked about that too. All the effort that goes into these floats.
That's a lot of work, man.
I don't think I've ever worked on putting feathers in chicken wire afloat. I'm not sure I've ever been on a float
in high
either.
School was fun because it was an excuse to get away from your homework and to hang out with your classmates on a school night. And then when you actually were in the parade too, that feeling of satisfaction that you just did this really cool project. So I think it's great. And like I said, I was telling everybody last night that, you know, during 4th of July, there's much more time to work on a float, but right as we head into the holidays, even for the kids, there's so much going on that to whoever's the people, the fact that they could devote so much time to building those floats was really, it was a great testament to this community's commitment to making this a very special parade and bringing that back. I think of that that U2 Rattle and Hum album where he's about to do the Beatles Helter Skelter, and he says, you know, Charles Manson stole this from the Beatles and we're stealing it back. And that's kind of what Waukesha did. We took our Christmas parade back. And we made it special again, while keeping the loved and lost forever in our hearts.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, living in Milwaukee, but now working here every day and seeing how tight-knit this community is and having the chance to have people like Jennifer Dunn come on and Mayor Riley, and obviously the influence you have in this community, and how much coming together and support there's been in the face of such a tragedy over the last year, and obviously having some chance to move forward with some of the court case being moving, like that was finalized ahead of the parade.
That was over.
And it's so sad and yet heartwarming to know what was able to be balanced that somberness with still celebrating.
Right. No doubt. And I don't know if I mentioned this. They moved the parade back a week. It was usually or traditionally the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Now it's the first Sunday in December. And what that did was it enabled the city to have more employees to choose from because a lot of people take their holidays going into that. I mean, three or four of our top people were up hunting in up north when this happened last year. So there was more ability for support, but also a new tradition. Our tree lighting's always been that first Friday in December. And this year they added a new wrinkle with like caroling and a procession following Santa through Main Street. And they lit these blue lights now. And the mayor has told me, I haven't seen it yet. When it gets dark at night, you have to come back here and see downtown with the lights.
All right. So. I will make sure. It gets so dark so early now. Maybe I'll stick around long enough today to be able to see them turn on. All right. Don Brown.
Sounds great.
Check his show on WAUK, The Shaw, at 8 a.m. on Saturday mornings this week in Waukesha. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Chris.
Coming on today.
So, and again, open invitation for next year. Hope you and Jane can join us.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. We're going to take one more break. Come back.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. I hate you. The Devil's Advocates.
Jake from Milwaukee, you get the last word this hour.
Okay, well, Trump is totally innocent. But it's obvious that George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, BLM, with Antifa, and then Hillary's emails, with Hunter Biden's laptop, gas, high, Afghanistan, cut and run. I rest my case, Truth.
What about Benghazi, Jake? You forgot Benghazi.
I forgot Benghazi. I'm sorry. And Benghazi, I rest my case.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection. A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire eight-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 28 overnight under overcast skies. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 39. Slight chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 29 overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 32 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
God rest you, merry gentlemen.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This is our last segment for this Monday, December 5th. It is 1:50. So when growing up, Jane,
yes,
did you and your family celebrate St. Nick's?
We did.
We did too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It was a very German Catholic thing.
So that's what I found out. So tonight is St. Nick's Eve. So those who celebrate will be putting out their stockings or their shoes to wake up tomorrow morning to have hopefully either a little treat or a little gift in their package. And it's kind of like, in our house, it was always like the pre-Christmas Christmas. And the funniest memory I have around St. Nick's and our family celebrating this was having a 6'8 father who was a basketball player who wore a size 14 shoe, meant that we would always put his shoes out for St. Nick's because the assumption and the very sound logic was that if it had a bigger shoe out, it gave more space to put more stuff in said shoe. And so I don't know if that was always how it ended up working out, but at least to my kid brain, that made a lot of sense. And so, but as I grew up and I left the state and I started moving other places, I found out that this is not necessarily, this is not as ubiquitous as Christmas is.
Yeah.
And so it's certainly in Southeast Wisconsin, I think parts of Wisconsin, and Evansville, Indiana, Cincinnati, Ohio, Fredericksburg, Texas.
Really?
Newport News, Virginia, and St. Louis, Missouri are other areas of the country that this is a popular celebration, all of which the thing they have in common is a strong German influence.
Because I was going to say that seems so random otherwise.
And I, you know, I've learned more and more about the immigration waves of for Wisconsin. And obviously, I think we know a lot, you know, Ellis Island and how much of a melting pot the East Coast between Boston and New York were. But as far as the other states of how different waves of European than Eastern European immigration went during the 20th century, 18th century, 20th century, where and why everyone went to different pockets throughout the country, to know that what was the German stronghold in these different parts of, because that's pretty broad. I mean, a lot of Midwest.
But Texas?
But Texas.
I wouldn't
and Virginia.
Have, yeah, I wouldn't have expected that.
Seems a little
that.
Different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, do you have a fun St. Nick's memory?
I mean, it wasn't a big deal. And we didn't get big presents.
No, we got like oranges. It was like, I feel like it was a piece of fruit, some candy, and maybe one stocking stuffer type thing.
A little toy, yeah. Something, figurine or something, but it wasn't a huge thing. But still, you wanted to make sure that Saint Nick had stopped by.
Oh, yeah.
Because otherwise, that was a bad indicator for what Mr. Claus was going to do.
Oh, so that was baked in, the naughty and nice thing?
Well, you know, if St. Nick doesn't show up, this is not looking promising for you.
So wait, with six kids, was there certain kids of your siblings who got stuff and then some who didn't on St. Nick's as far as a warning shot to, like, be better before Christmas?
Well, again, don't forget, we're 10 years apart.
The spread. My oldest
sister and me, because I'm the youngest, we're 10 years apart. So I'm sure when my siblings were in high school, they probably didn't get St. Nick things.
Oh, I feel like we still did.
Did you really?
My mother's just a giver, though. I feel like that was...
Well, there were only two of you. It was a little bit easier.
I think if right now I was still living in Rapids...
You'd still get it?
Doing this show from WFHR every day, but living up in the yellow room in my parents' house. At 36 years old, I'm pretty sure if I went to bed tonight, I would wake up this morning and Debbie Bry would have a St. Nick's shoe out for me.
Probably.
And there'd be something for me to film.
I mean, my sister, her daughter is 40. She still gets an Easter basket.
Does she have to search for it, though?
No. I don't think so. Maybe she does still hide them. Check in the oven. That's where it always is.
Or the two. Well, I'll save that story for Easter.
All right.